Welcome to the Automate and Grow podcast, brought to you by Cloud Advisory.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Automate and Grow. I'm here today with Jonathan, whose last name I will totally butcher, so I'm going to let you pronounce it properly. I've tried pronouncing it a bunch of times and I've gotten it wrong.
Grzybowski.
Oh, I got it. Okay. It was in my head. Grzybowski. And Jonathan is the founder of a company called Penji, and Penji is doing some really interesting stuff. So, Jonathan, first of all, I want to thank you for joining me on Automate and Grow.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an honor to be here.
And we were introduced by David Markovich as well as Dave Feynman of Online Geniuses. So you came highly recommended by two people.
Yeah, there are some cool people. The Davids are good friends, and they're all doing some good stuff. It's good to surround yourself with cool people, you know?
It is the key to success in some ways.
Absolutely.
Opposed to bad people.
Yeah.
And so we got to talk before we jumped on the episode, and you yourself are a pretty veteran podcaster, and I think you mentioned that you're up to 150 episodes on your podcast.
Yeah, 150 and counting. I can say I could create a whole nother podcast about the successes and failures of podcasting, but yeah, 150, and the people that I'm interviewing now after 150, I think once you hit a certain mark and tier of the podcast world, you really start to you have some clout, and you can actually go up to people who have like big names and stuff like that, and they'll be like, "I'm down."
Oh, so great! I'm encouraged by that.
As you grow 23 to who knows 223 or 123, you can start throwing some cool people around. So, and that ultimately leads to better conversations. So.
I agree with you there. I've been pretty fortunate where what I've been talking to some people in the AI space, but then, you know, recently I have an episode that I'll publish shortly, and this might be up by the time this is up. Well, it will be, which was the Dr. Stephen Barry from Viome, and he was introduced to me by Naveen Jain, who I don't know if you know Naveen, but he's got two interesting ventures. One is Moon Express.
Okay.
Moon Express has basically the rights to go to the moon and mine it.
Interesting. That sounds pretty awesome.
Right? And then the other one is Viome, which what they're doing is they basically are a wellness company where they link gut bacteria to pretty much every health problem. So it's has to do with the microbiome in your belly, basically.
Interesting. Well, I wish what I was doing was remotely interesting to what they're doing. But you know, it seems like they're actually changing the world. And we can say that we're changing the world in some degree, but I'd say we're just fixing a pretty big problem in the design world, so to speak. So hopefully that's equivalent to changing and fixing the biome in your gut.
Well, I think that's a great segue to your company. I think you mentioned you started in October. It's called Penji, and you've had a pretty rapid growth. So maybe you can just tell us, like, what is Penji and what problem are you guys solving?
Sure. So Penji is an unlimited graphic design service. We help marketing teams, marketing agencies, all at a flat monthly rate. So the problem that we're solving is we were once an agency. And we were looking at ourselves as a business, and we knew what we were doing wasn't connecting as well as it should. Because anytime that you create a business, and anytime that you're a part of a business, you want to constantly be able to achieve and obtain referrals. And people constantly being that advocate in order for you to be as good as you want. And so our design was spectacular. Our service was amazing, but the one thing that we were missing was that interpersonal relationship. And so as a service-based business and have your service be relatively transactional is such a terrible way to run business. And so now what we did was we thought to ourselves, well, what can we do in order to make our business better? And what is the one thing that we're really good at? And what was the main problem that we had when we were running our agency? And that was the conversation of back and forth between our internal design team. And so it was like we would use Slack and we would say, "Hey, man, what's the is the design coming through on this project?" And then they're like, "Nah, man, I got like a couple hours left." And then you go to your other team member, like, hey, the client's asking for this. I need this. When is it done? And there's all this, like, conversation that just doesn't exist that takes up a lot more time than you think. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to basically just create a solution that completely eliminates that entire process. And then we also add our own design team into the mix. So now businesses, rather than hiring a $40,000 to $60,000 designer, which they're definitely needed, mm-hmm. So we're not replacing it, but we're an add-on. So a lot of agencies, a lot of businesses in particular, they give us the work that they just can't do themselves.
Okay.
Or they give us the work that necessarily doesn't justify or qualify a high-end designer in order right. to do. So we kind of act that as that support. So businesses, they hire us to do that, but they kind of, hey, we're on a sprint and we're doing X and we need more quicker design. And then that's kind of like where we come in. So we act as the support, the liaison between the existing design team and then this now new design team via Penji.
Interesting. So I see this trend and I actually, you know, I understand it from almost a selfish point of view as someone that's, you know, a project-based agency, let's say, where you kind of go through this boom-bust cycle of, I got a project, I do a bunch of work, I'm getting paid, and then it goes away or I'm done. And from a selfish point of view, I think I mentioned that it makes sense for you know to have a recurring revenue service, but it sounds like you've also been able to identify that almost taking a cue from SaaS, where you're taking software as a service and turning it into a consumable utility, you've taken that approach, and I think a lot of people are starting to try to take that approach with services, right? How did you determine that that was actually a need? Like, I understand the point of view of, hey, I want the revenue, which is where I stumble sometimes in thinking about it, but how did you figure out that this would serve a need for the client?
Yeah, so we literally asked people. So what we did was I think a lot of times entrepreneurs and everybody, not just people in general, they get so stuck in their own head. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say that like this time around when it comes into business that we are always trying to do something different and do things that we've never done before. And the one thing that we've never done before has been asking and just getting on conversations and talking to people. And so we asked about 125, 150 people, and we said, hey, what are some problems that you have? Are you experiencing this issue? I know we were. If something were to be made around this particular topic, would you be interested in buying it? And then the answer to that question overwhelmingly was yes. So we were already in the process of making it, because we knew that it was a problem and we were trying to, you know, create something necessarily that we knew that we could use. And then it turned into Penji.
Interesting.
And so we knew that the problem was there because we were listening to people. Now more than ever before, we're more data driven. Okay. Because we're not going to spend money unless the data tells us to. We're not going to do a particular style of sales unless our data tells us. We're looking at where our customers are coming from, how they're coming, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're acting off of what it is that people are telling us to, and not just one person, because that's something that you need to be careful about. Like, you can talk to me right now, or you can talk to Johnny down the street, or Sarah, whatever that person is, and they could be like, hey, you need to do this, you need to add this on your service, this is important, and then the first thing in your mind is like, yeah, like, well, I really trust this person. I need to go ahead and do it.
But it's not a representative sample. So it sounds like you did a certain volume where it was like you got to hear messages that probably got to be grouped, right? And you made a choice.
Exactly.
Got it. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we used the benchmark of we tried to get like groups of zeros, so like a 10 or a 50 or like 100, and we kind of based it off of that, and we just asked people the same question, and then we reacted based off of the response. Some people were outliers, and it's like a bell curve, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense that you have. So out of, you know, that initial sample group, like how many actually stuck with you and became a client?
I'd say around 30-40.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I think, you know, you know, you had a good point before where you were talking about like just ask people and get feedback, and it's opening a conversation as opposed to trying to sell people something. And I'm curious if you continue to use the same approach in your sales process when you're trying to grow the company.
The short answer is yes.
Okay.
And the short answer, the other answer to that is like it's a work in progress.
Got it.
So a lot of things that we did when we are growing, it has been doing an unscalable process,
mm-hmm.
and just going out and just doing, because I don't. Our organization, especially like myself and my co-founder, we don't want to be the type where we're just sitting on our ass and just waiting for the perfect process or waiting for the perfect script or the perfect website or whatever. Our first thought process is to just go and do and do it and then track it and then worry about everything else later. And then we can fine tune it from there, because you know, we could send 100 emails, cold emails, and we can get no response. That doesn't necessarily mean that we should stop doing cold emails. It just means that we need to fine tune it. And so what do we need to fine tune? Is it the script? Is it the I don't know, like, is it the time of day? Like, what are the factors? And then just going from there and just saying, okay, well, this is what needs to be done based off of the analytics. And then, again, just going from there, assessing.
And now you guys, in a very short period of time, you have about, I think you mentioned you've hit 200 customers. And it sounds like that you're trying to figure out that next stage of growth where you can have more scalable conversations to continue to grow. That is kind of what you're describing.
Yeah.
How did you get to 200? I understand how you kind of got the first 30 or 40. What was the process to, you know, find, communicate with, open doors, and then close the next kind of 170?
Yeah, so it's been community. That's the overwhelming majority of the customer base. Just using our existing community, using our existing worth, using the people that we've reached out to. I mean, we've had a prior agency, as mentioned before, and so we've had a pretty extensive network. I know I in particular had a network of a decent amount of people, and so I was just making posts on social media, and then that one conversation led to another conversation, which led to a referral. That's one aspect of it. So I think leveraging your network is crucial. It is so crucial. I can almost guarantee you that your first 100 customers are literally watching everything that you're doing every single day, and you just don't even know it yet because you're too afraid to reach out to them. You're too afraid to jump on a call, or you're too afraid to just simply ask for help. And so that's most importantly that. Another aspect would be just that cold email aspect, I think, is critical. Advertisements are huge. Don't sleep on it, especially Google, especially Facebook, remarketing. It has been something that's taken a little bit of time, but SEO, getting people to the website. So we had a conversation off air about, hey, your team's like messaging me while I'm on your website.
right.
that's by design. Like that's a reason. Exactly. Yeah. Like a lot of people are like SEO. We need SEO. We need to bring more people to the website. But you're not doing anything in order. Like once they're there, like you did your job, right? You did your job. You did your SEO work. You did your optimization, and now they're on your website, and you're not doing anything about it. So
that's interesting.
So why not?
I noticed, like measures. I was saying, you had a little chat that popped up, and I think chat's become really important. Which chat are you guys using out of curiosity, actually?
Lucky Orange.
Lucky Orange. Okay, I don't think I've heard of that.
And yeah, I had Lucky Orange on my show. Brian.
Cool.
He's a good dude. The company's awesome. They're a good company.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. I'll definitely check it out and follow up on that. And I think the one thing that I noticed was, first of all, you know, to your point, it's like you knew I was there. The guy popped up. And when I say the guy, there was a persona, right? So there was a person with, I think it was J and the letter P and had a
JP.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of makes me think, because when you go to my website, which needs some work and is going to get some work, but I have a messenger, but it's not a persona and they're not engaging. So it's interesting to say, and that's probably an easy way to convert traffic that's already coming there. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing the work and you put in the content, you're spending effort in order to create this content, like why not just put some measures in there in order to track your data? We've got a ton of customers just by simply jumping on a conversation with these people. A lot of people have questions, and they may not, they're too afraid to, well, let me backtrack a little bit.
Sure.
You have to figure out who you are, mm-hmm. because for us, we're an online business. Like, we make our money off of online sales. And so if you are listening or watching and you're a more interpersonal relationship company where you want to get on a phone call, you want to grab coffee with them, you want them to be your best friend and vice versa, then you need to create a process around that. You need to create a system in order to generate more leads. We are an online business, so we need to find a way and create a process in order to generate online leads, because that's what we do. So it varies off of every business, but for us, that's what has worked well for us.
That makes sense.
I mentioned advertisements. I mentioned cold email and content. That, I mean, honestly, those were the things. But the last thing I want to say has been the repetition behind it.
Okay.
And so we're very consistent with everything that we do. And we don't let a day or a moment, we don't skip a beat. We're doing the same things every single day. And we're all rowing the boat together at the same exact time. And the minute that one person isn't rowing the boat, maybe they're going a little bit slower than the other person, we're going to call them out and we're going to say, hey, let's go. What's going on here? Why aren't we able to commit and do the things that we want to do?
So when you say you're doing the same things, and it's interesting because I think one thing, you know, we talk about building a traffic and conversion plan. And when you look at that, there's usually like maybe there's one or multiple points where traffic goes to, but it's multiple sources. And you've kind of hit on, you know, you've got paid from Google, paid from Facebook, cold email outreach. So it sounds like you determined that these are kind of the channels that you want to bring in, and then from there work to convert them and engage them.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Like, what in your mind was there any one of those that is more effective than the other? Or is it just like, listen, we're going to invest in five or six and then we're going to work to tweak them?
What we all looked at was like, what is it that converts us as a customer? And I'd say remarketing has been a huge help.
Okay.
That's been, and it's relatively inexpensive too.
Right.
And
to explain what you mean by that, it's like when I click an ad, you have a pixel of some sort that follows, that kind of tracks me from that point and keeps showing me stuff.
Even before that, you create a piece of content. The content goes, it could be SEO, it could be an email newsletter, it could be a post, it could be an advertisement that brings people back to your content. The point is that they go onto your website. Then they do exactly what it is that you said. They go onto your website, then they go onto their favorite social media platform. The social media platform knows that they were on the website, and then they see a particular ad based off of what it is. For us, it's a video. So there's like, you know, I'm not trying to hide anything or anything like that. Like, I have no problem giving away all the secrets and tricks of the trade.
Oh, it was like to learn, right? Cause I think you've done a great job of rapidly expanding a model that's probably attractive to a lot of even like smaller agencies that were probably struggling with that model. And they're probably thinking about this. And it just, I think there's always the belief aspect that can get in the way. So I don't know if it's necessarily anyone wants to reverse engineer. I mean, there might be those type of people, right? Funnel hackers or whatever.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I think the first step, and I even talk about this in Automate and Grow, where it's like there's a whole chapter on don't be afraid of change and then embrace the change, right? Like dance with your robots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think more than anything, what you're describing, the first thing is people can believe this is possible. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's a huge thing is mindset. Mindset is like, I literally saw it today, like this morning, and it was like, if you put your mind to something and you believe it, you think about it, you can, it'll happen. It'll come true, whatever that is.
Whether it's positive or negative, it's like.
Exactly.
It can't work. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we believe it, and we believe it every single day we come into work, and then it happens. Like, this week alone, we were trying new strategies, and we were trying, like, new approaches to our marketing. And we were just like, you know, we're going to get a sale this week. Like, we're going to get a sale this week that's, like, around this process. And then we ended up getting, like, more than one. We got, that's like, great. Five. I think, like, five or six from just that one particular strategy. And so it's just like, you just gotta believe it, and then once you bring it into the universe, then it'll naturally happen.
I feel like I get caught up, even on a personal basis, in an intolerance for experimentation. And I feel like that the guys that are growth hackers or funnel hackers, what they're doing is they're running a bunch of experiments and getting data. And that's kind of how you're describing running this new business.
Yes.
Which is you. And then I think we, you know, just from a tool perspective, you're using HubSpot, it sounds like, for your marketing automation and maybe also your sales management.
Just the CRM.
Just the CRM. CRM,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, the CRM has been pretty cool so far. Relatively new to the platform. So it's not like perfect.
Yeah.
But I think like the biggest thing that I've seen from our data has been the consistency of like the inconsistencies of follow up. So
interesting.
If I would recommend that to any business that is listening. That is like, if you hear one takeaway from me today, and all the other BS that I'm spewing.
It's good so far.
Well, that's good. I'd say that the follow-up is everything, and there's no greater aspect to follow. Like, if we followed up with half the people, I'd say that we'd probably be at 600 sales at this point.
Interesting, really? Because, wow.
Yeah, well, because the minute that I'm going to speak for myself, and that has been one of the biggest flaws that I've had as a founder, as a revenue thought leader, like revenue person within the company, has been that aspect of just like, I wish that we were able to follow up more and follow up better. We probably could have got more podcast inquiries. We probably could have gotten more people interested, more partners, more affiliates, just by asking like, hey man, miss, what's going on? How are you? What are you doing? What's going on? Just that simple touch.
Interesting.
Idea of just saying, hey, Penji's here for you. That goes a long way.
That probably makes a lot of sense, because I think that, you know, there's a certain amount of, there's different personalities for different roles. And I think as a founder, you're trying to grow something and start something. And so you probably fall in one of several, you know, comfort zones. You know, it might be lead generation, it might be conversion, it might be, you know, when you get a lead you're able to close, and then there's the aspect of follow-up, right? And I think the tough thing is you know, you probably hate one of those.
Yeah.
So I think what you're describing is, man, if I had a customer success person that all they were doing was following up on stuff that isn't closed, or stuff that was closed and maybe went away, whatever that, you know, rule is, that you'd probably have higher conversion even. And I think someone on our podcast actually has an interesting solution to part of that. But I think at all those stages, there's gaps between this, you know, so there's a gap between traffic and conversion. There's a gap between opt-in, that's where you have a marketing qualified lead versus a sales qualified lead. And then again, through sales process, and then post, right? So there's all these like gaps, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're describing, right? It's like,
well, more specifically, you have to know what you're good at. Mm-hmm. And you have to know, like, you have to know yourself. Like, I know myself, and I know that the minute I send an email to somebody, the minute I'm like, task, like, I'm a machine.
Done.
Like, myself, yes, I'm a machine, and my co-founder's machine. Like, we are machines. We go boom, 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 done, day over, success. But then we don't think about, like, the repercussions of everything that we just did. And so we're like, okay, well, yeah, we did all that, but now what? And so now we have to find or even hire people in order to go the onward next phase, in order yeah, to
that makes
exactly
sense.
When you say the gaps, like, yeah, you're exactly right, there are gaps, but you need to be able to find people and create processes and procedures in order to fit the fulfill the rest of the gaps.
Makes
you
know sense.
Is it what is the biggest problem that you have? Like, for me, my biggest skill and my biggest the thing that I bring to the table is the ability to converse, is the ability to talk. Mm-hmm. So naturally for me, I want to jump on a phone call with somebody. I want to talk to them. I want to be able to feel the energy. I want to feel the conversation. I'm not necessarily the best type of person in order to send an email.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, like, there are other people that are more introverted that might be able to do that. So you just got to be able to, like, I think that's another key takeaway too, is know yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. So have that awareness of where those, you know, it's like if you're resisting doing something, delegate it, put a resource in place, even if it's like, oh, it's a person for an hour a day on demand. Like, there's ways you can do that. And I've had to really, even from a personal perspective, force myself to do that and let go of things.
Yes.
Like, well, I'm not going to do it anyway.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to just get somebody else to do it and see the results, right?
Well, yeah. Well, in that same breath, I think a lot of people, they I'm mainly saying this for myself, is it's really easy to do busy work,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's really easy to make your day busy. But is any of the things that you're doing at the end of the day moving the company forward?
Good.
And so that's something, again, being cognizant of. Like, I can stack my day up real quick with stuff that I can do, but it's just stuff. And so, like, what can you do in order to hold yourself accountable to complete the things that are necessary in order to move the business forward? Like, for example, I have like 50 plus emails that are like on my desktop that I need to answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, like, no offense to the 50 people that are on there, not one of those are pressing. Like, I don't need to answer them right now. Like, right. I know that. But my anxiety kicks in and I see these 50 emails and I'm just
worse.
Like, hold, yeah, like, oh man, this is gonna double by the end of today. And I'm like, holy crap, I really need to get to it. But like, what is more important? Talking to you. That to me is way more important
high
than
value.
Having you. The value of getting in front of your audience is way more important than any said email that needs to be written today.
Just for your information, I think there's a couple businesses out there that are in the AI space that are trying to solve those problems that you're describing.
Yeah.
And we had, you might want to just check out X.AI was a Dennis Mortensen. And it's really around, hey, lead comes in or email comes in and I'm following up for a demo or to book an appointment. And they have, Andrew and Amy, which are their persona.
Yeah.
It's basically an AI that'll sit there and do that and clear out your inbox.
I thought about using that.
And then I think the other one that's probably a little higher, and it depends on how many leads you have coming in, is Conversica. And it's probably a more, how do I say, it's more like an SDR, it's more like a BDR, right? Where like lead comes in, it's figuring out the right language and cadence and timing and all this other stuff to try and accomplish a goal. And so those are two kind of interesting problems. And I think there's probably a lot of others that are out there that we haven't talked to, but I think I would love to
be able to find those as like viable solutions. But I think what I found and like the things that resonated most with me is having that, just that conversation. Like, I can always get rid of an email.
Sure.
And that's not that big of an issue. But I can't portray tell a robot to my personality.
You should you should check it out, because I'll tell you what blew me away about it was it adjusts the language based upon your industry and kind of some of your goals. And usually the goal is to go through those emails and book an appointment with you so you get on a phone call at some point.
Yeah, listen.
Thought of it, but just worth checking out.
I'm so not in the. So I don't want to disrespect any of the AI fans that are listening. I don't know enough to in order for it to succeed. But that's like, again, going back to like knowing what you're good at and staying in your lane. I know that I can't. I know that the AI stuff is like a completely huge. It's a big turn for me.
Sure.
And so, like, if I'm staying here, I'm only going to do things that I can grab from my lane.
Makes
and
sense.
So right now, and the minute that I'm able to, we're all able to get to a point where we can just, like, we can be a little bit more courageous and a little bit more adventurous and do something a little bit risky.
Sure.
That's, like, that's probably the one thing that I would look into is that aspect of just, like, AI. But right now, it's, like, 100% focus on what's going on.
I just think for $20 a month, you might have a solution.
You're right.
So I want to be conscious of your time. So I don't know if there's anything we haven't touched on that you think's important, but maybe just let us know also what's the best way to get in touch with you and how do we check out your podcast?
Yeah, sure. So I want to say one thing, and I feel like I've been able to discuss and give some good feedback and some good, hopefully some good stuff that people can take home with them. But I think one of the most important things is, like, as a co-founder and a person that provides jobs to people, one of the most important things that I didn't even mention today was the aspect of community, but more specifically, what we're doing in our community. So what we do is we not only deliver a service, but we also give jobs to people in the city of Camden. People in the city of Camden, Camden is a predominantly negative, from if you were to Google it, you won't see good things. But there's a renaissance going on in the city. And what we do is that we provide jobs and internships to people in the inner city so they can necessarily obtain the education that they need in the job just because they don't have a perfect resume or the perfect background, or they may not look like you and I, and they may not believe in the same things that you and I do. They are still here, and they bring a ton of value to any organization. So I'd say that another aspect of the growth that we've done is just that being community conscious and thinking about the community, giving and providing jobs to people within our local community has been a huge aspect. So I implore, as a socially conscious organization, I implore other businesses to do the same. You know, maybe you don't really care about your community as much as world hunger, or maybe you don't necessarily care about your community as much as all of the violence that is going on. Whatever that thing is that speaks to you, I implore any business to think about it and find a way to be socially conscious, because our world and our day and age is changing rapidly. Some may argue it's changing for the better, and I'd say more would say that it's changing for the worse. So having that idea of being socially conscious is critical to just you as a human being, but it will also benefit your business as well. In order for people to find me, I'd say just go on to Penji.
Okay.
And head over to penji.co for any type of graphic design needs. I won't even talk about the podcast, because right now Penji is the most important aspect to my life, and it's the most important thing that I care about, because we're providing the service, but we're also providing jobs. So that is the most important thing. And so if you could head over to the podcast and just type in the coupon code podcast25. Podcast25 as a coupon code.
And on Penji?
What?
On Penji?
So on Penji, you can go to Penji and type in the coupon code podcast25.
Got it.
And you will be able to receive 25% off your first month of Penji.
Great.
So you can test us out. You could try it. You could figure out if you like it or not. And if you do like it, awesome. And if you don't, please give us some feedback and let us know how we could improve.
So it's penji.co, and
yep.
The coupon code for listeners is podcast25, and that gives you an opportunity to jump on and try Penji with pretty low risk. I normally ask my guests how you're changing the world, but I think you kind of segued into that. Would you say that your attention to community through commerce is how you're changing the world?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think we're trying to change the world. I don't think we're successful. But to add another just quick story about how, you know, potentially you could change the world, there's $2.2 billion being spent in Camden, New Jersey right now. And a lot of the organizations are trying to hire inner city, so trying to provide jobs and just opportunities to people that are residents in the city. You could do the same within your organization and in your city as well, what we want to do is we want to be able to be the benchmark of what businesses look towards when they come into the city. And that's like the gold standard of what we hold ourselves to. So you could be a one-person shop. You could be, 23, 24, well, 25 now. People shop like us.
Wow, you guys
are
up to 25. That's amazing. Well, I had no idea.
25 worldwide. That's great. 24 worldwide. And so just like that aspect of whatever it is, that one thing, just hold on to it and use that in order to drive you and push you. Because if you just try to get the next dollar, it's just a rat race. You're literally just, you're always going to be spinning that wheel, and it's going to be very unfulfilling, and it's going to be unfulfilling quick. But if you could just find that thing, whatever it is that speaks to you, you now have purpose. You now have a reason to do what you do.
That makes total sense, and I think those are amazing words. And I think that gives you, to your point, when you have purpose and a mission, that's going to propel your business, and it's obviously propelling your business forward faster than probably if you were just trying to go out and get SaaS signups that were, you know, subscription-based customers, right? So
absolutely, 100%.
So I'll wrap up with one final question, and if you've watched any other episode, you know that I usually put my guests on the spot, and I ask them, this is how you came on the show. You were nominated by both David Markovich and Dave Feynman. When we have interesting guests, we want you to refer other interesting guests. So I'd like you to nominate someone that you think would be a great guest for Automate and Grow in a future episode.
Yeah. So I thought about this, and the person that I originally came up with wasn't as good as I wanted to be. when it comes to the most interesting conversations that I've had on my podcast were the people who I didn't expect. So I'm just going to go on my podcast real quick and just rattle off some names, if that's okay. Do you mind if I just rattle off some names?
I'm sure you can introduce them, so that's great.
Yeah, and I can always make some introductions to these people as well.
Terrific.
Chad Stender, Maxwell Finn, great conversations. Maxwell Ivey was amazing. He's the blind blogger. He's physically blind, and he's running his business. You know what? I'm just going to go there. I'm going to say Maxwell Ivey. I'm going to shout out to him.
Okay, so Maxwell Ivey, you've been nominated to appear on the episode of Automation.
You got to eat the lemon, or you got to put ice over your head, or whatever it is that you got to do in order to accept the challenge, right? Is that?
No, just show up.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Challenge is really simple. Dude, it's like appear.
I'm going to make the introduction. He was, so my podcast is called The Blind Entrepreneur. He thought that I could have been blind. It was more so a metaphor because we all have blind spots in business, but he is physically blind. And if you hear his story, there's no excuse as to why you can't do what you do. Like, this guy's blind. He has an impairment. You could, if you're listening, I don't know exactly your story, but you could have everything. You could have your ability to walk, the ability to use your hands, speak, sight, hearing, everything. And this guy's killing it. You should be doing it too. So I'll make that introduction for you.
Great. That's awesome. I will accept that. That sounds like a great guest. So, Jonathan, I want to thank you for your time. I know we went a little bit over. I'm excited about everything that's going on in Penji, and we'll stay in touch. And
absolutely,
this has been episode 23. It's gone quite fast, and I've been really fortunate to have yet another interesting guest. So, and we will look forward to a future episode with Maxwell Ivey as well.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Keep doing it.
Thanks, I will. I appreciate the feedback. All right, have a great day, and this has been another episode of Automate and Grow.
This has been an episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. Check out other episodes for interesting topics on how to grow, innovate, and automate your business. Subscribe or like us on iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, or on our website at www.automategrow.biz, and get your copy of the book Automate and Grow at Amazon today.